Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
Hey, it's 4:30. We've been watching the $10,000 pyramid on the Game Show Network.
Yes. I think I saw this one when I was pregnant with your brother.
Richard Dawson still looks great on Match Cam.
Well, he did look great on Match Game, too.
Actually, yeah. Fine, on Match Game.
I was at the grocery store earlier.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out why the express checkout line of 12 items or under is always full of old people. Always.
Okay. Do you have a theory?
Oh, I have a theory.
See, okay,
because everybody knows the checkout that I'm talking about, because it's always old people. There's always like one or two guys that like just have a couple things, but a lot of times that has gone away since they've been putting in the self checkout.
Yeah,
but I think the thing is that old people refuse to buy in bulk. They refuse to be like, you know what, I'm going to get my meals for the week and get my grocery shopping for the week done, which is, I think, what most people do. Most people, when they go grocery shopping, they go for a few days in advance, you know?
Right.
I'm assuming that old people are just always afraid that they're going to drop dead at any second.
So they don't want to waste their money by buying things that they aren't going to use.
Yeah. So if you look in their carts, they have like two cans of green beans, you know, some kind of a roast, maybe milk and something else, and that's it. Like it's a few things to get them through a couple days.
Okay. Now. Well, I think there's a few reasons why the old people are always in that line. That is one of them, that I think that they don't want to plan too far in advance because they know that their time on Earth is very tenuous.
Right, because otherwise I think they would go to – if they were doing more shopping for the week, I think they would go to one of the normal checkout lines.
Well, true. But I also feel that old people – I think there's a couple other reasons too.
Okay.
I think in addition to that, you got to take into account the fact that a lot of these old people are now single because their spouse is dead.
Right.
Or at the most, there's two of them. So they don't require very much food. They also aren't eating big portions. So a lot of times they can get away with not buying too much and having it last quite a while. You know, also, I feel like these people may have come from a time when you went out and purchased your food several times a week. You know, like you went to the butcher to get your meat for the next day or that night or whatever, you know, back in like, say, like the 50s and stuff, where, you know, you didn't get the food 2 weeks in advance before you made it. So they might still kind of be programmed like that a little bit. Like, oh, well, I'm not going to buy a steak for Sunday because it's only Tuesday. I'll buy the steak on Saturday. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
I think there's a few things involved there. Your theory is definitely correct too, because they don't want to plan too far in advance. Because tell me old people that have plans. Old people never have plans. Now, part of that is because all their friends are fucking dead.
Right.
But the other part, I feel, is that they don't like to think things out too much, especially the ones that have kind of accepted the fact that they're old and they don't have too much longer to live. They're like, you know what? I'm just going with it. But yeah.
Yeah, that, like, they come from a time when they also, like, well, see. No, I don't know if that's entirely true at this point. Because I was going to say, they come from a time when you have to get the ingredients fresh. Like, because they didn't really have refrigeration, but that's probably not true anymore. That was probably true. That's probably true of maybe, like, my grandparents, who would be, like, in... They would be... I think they would all be past... Yeah, they'd all be, like, past 100 at this point. But I think going back, yeah, they would be... That might have been the case for them. But most of the old people you see moving around now probably isn't... That isn't true.
Right. Maybe not so much the refrigeration, but... Well, you know, another interesting thing is with the old people. Like in the case of my great aunt, she's in her mid-90s, she freezes everything. Like, she has frozen half gallons of milk. Like, she freezes tuna fish. Like, literally everything gets frozen. And she's got just all this shit in there. And so I think, like, she'll go out to the store. And she doesn't get out that much. But she'll go to the store and, like, she'll get bread. And she'll get, like, some chips. And something else, maybe. And you'll be like, oh, that's all she's buying? But she's got all the shit. It's just frozen. Because she knows that she's not going to eat much. Like, she's just one solitary old lady. So she's just not going through very much food.
Right.
So she just keeps it all frozen. So I don't know. It's a whole nother level. It's a whole nother way of thinking that I just don't think we'll understand until we get up towards that age.
All right. See, I see your points. See, I was really thinking it was because they always assume that they're going to die.
I'm sure that crosses their mind too, though. Especially the really cheap ones. They're like, I'm not going to pay for it. Like, see, this would be me. That's the way I would think. I'd be like, I'm not going to pay for something I'm not going to use. Why would I plan a week out if I think I could die in the next 3 days?
Yeah, but if you die, you're not going to care that you... Like, yeah, okay, but
that's not the way I work, though.
Let's say you die, and let's say you're lucky enough to go to heaven, if there is a heaven. Supposedly in the heaven that we're all taught exists, the point you reach there, like, all your worries and problems go away.
Right.
So let's say you buy yourself a nice big steak, and you're like, Friday, I'm eating that steak. Thursday morning, you're dead. You go up, you're going to be like, no problem. Whatever. No big deal. I mean, I guess it would suck if you go to hell and you're like, son of a bitch, I'm in hell. And I didn't get to eat that steak. I didn't get to eat the steak. And I paid for it. This is bullshit. But I think at that point, you'd be more upset that you were in hell than the fact that you paid for the steak.
Now, you're definitely not wrong. But I feel like you know me well enough to know that were I in either of those situations, I would think about the steak.
I think you would. I think your first thought would be, oh, I didn't get to eat that steak. Not, yeah. I can't believe I wasted the money on that steak. That wouldn't be your first thought.
Yeah, you're right. It might be like, man, I really wanted to eat that steak. Then secondly, I'd say, and fuck, I spent like... You know, who knows what inflation's going to be then? I'm going to be like, I spent $45 on that steak.
See, but I think at that point, you're going to regret more the stuff that you didn't spend the money on. Like, all the money that you had sitting in your bank account when you died that you could have spent on other stuff.
Actually, yeah, that's true, too. Because if I'm sitting there and I die and, you know, maybe I have, you know, say I'm lucky and I got, like, fucking 80 grand sitting there in the bank that I had saved up, you know, to last me the rest of my life. I'd be like, man, I could have bought some really cool shit with that. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I didn't.
I could have had a steak last night too, but I didn't because I wanted to. I only afford myself one protein a week.
because by this point I'm only eating like 7 meals a week.
Yeah. I think that would be your thing. Not, I can't believe I wasted $45 on a steak that I'm not even going to get to eat. Eventually you might think that.
I wonder if I'll ever be that old person that like goes to bed early every night. And gets up early. I just don't see it.
I think you might.
You think so? I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to envision that. I really enjoy staying up and drinking beer.
Well, I think it depends on, like... I think it depends on the lifestyle you live. Like, I used to stay up past like midnight all the time, but now I'm going to bed before midnight, so I can see myself, like, I don't think I would be like doing the early bird special at 4 in bed by 7 kind of thing. But like I'm definitely going to bed later, or going to bed earlier and waking up earlier than I did in the past.
You know, you might be right too, because I, you know, and obviously a lot of it's because of work, and I have a real regular schedule where I have to be in work at a certain time in the morning. But I mean, typically I go to bed at like 10. I don't stay up late, like hardly ever. I mean, Friday and Saturday, I'll stay up till 2 in the morning if I want.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I do. But weeknights, I'm usually asleep by like 10:30.
Yeah, if I'm going, like, I would say most nights. See, my work schedule is it varies, so it kind of depends on, like, if I know if I'm going to have to be at work in the morning, then I'm going to bed. I would say I'm getting in bed like between 10 and 11. And now I might read or watch TV in bed, but I'm usually like in bed by 10, maybe, yeah, like asleep. I'm usually asleep before midnight. Now, if I'm not working the next day, then I'm up till at least midnight. Right. But the other thing is, and this doesn't affect you, but it affects me, is I got somebody else there that is going to wake up early anyway.
True.
So I always have to factor that in. Because she's like, even if she doesn't wake me up right when she wakes up,
and you're going to be woken up at some point.
I'll get up when she is getting, when she's just about ready to leave the house. So no matter what, I'm still usually up at like 7. Which is fine, because like I said, like the latest I go to bed is like midnight. So I wake up 7 hours of sleep about.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'll take that. But I could, you know, I think work plays a pretty big factor in it, but I could see myself doing that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, because I know that back in the day, you know, I used to always go to work late, and I would stay up late every night, you know? I would stay up and watch Leno and then Conan, and back when that was the setup, and I would stay up till 1:30 every night, you know, because I didn't have to be into work till after 11. So, you know, it all depends, I guess.
Well, and I used to, I would always sleep in on Saturdays. Saturdays, I always slept in until I got used to a work routine in Boston, and then I woke up like an hour after I would normally get up on Saturdays, but like I was still up pretty early compared to where I used to be on Saturdays. And my dad would always be like up what I thought was like really early on Saturday morning. Like my dad would get up and he would like go run errands first thing Saturday morning, and he would get up and go to the bank or whatever. So by the time that I woke up, my dad had already gone to the bank. He had done something else, had already eaten and had already read half the paper.
Sounds exactly like my dad Saturday morning. Exactly.
And I never understood it. I was like, I don't understand why he does that. Why doesn't he sleep in? And he was like, well, I did sleep in, but I'm used to getting up earlier, so I didn't sleep in as late. And I was like, oh, you should sleep in longer, Dad. Like me at like 8 giving him life advice. Pops, grab a knee with me here. Look, you seem really tired, all right? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you should just sleep in later on Saturdays. Because I notice sometimes Saturday night you doze off in the chair while you're watching TV. I'm thinking you sleep in a little bit later on Saturday. You don't doze off. I don't have to come and wake you up 3 times for dinner Saturday night. What do you think?
I notice sometimes late at night on the weekends, Dateline is watching you. My mom always used to say that when someone would fall asleep or I'd come home and be like, oh, where's dad? We'd like, oh, is he upstairs watching the game? My mom would be like, oh yeah, the Red Sox are watching him.
That's so
it's so lame, but
I kind of get it with Dateline or the news, something where they're looking at the TV screen, but the Red Sox doesn't really make sense.
No, that was the most common one. It would be the Red Sox are watching dad. Because he'd get through the first 5 or so innings, and then he'd just start passing out because, my dad had the weirdest schedule when I was younger, and he did this for so long, years and years, where he would have to get up at I forget if it was 2:30 or 3 in the morning, because he had to be to work by 4, and it wasn't wicked close by. So he'd get up say 3, and he'd be home at 2 in the afternoon, and then we'd eat early. I always thought we ate dinner kind of early at 5, and then he'd be going to bed at 7, 8 at the latest.
Right.
It was weird. It was the weirdest. It was just a really strange schedule. And similar to what you said with the Saturdays about your dad being like, oh, I did sleep in. Well, because my dad was always getting up at 3 o'clock. So it'd be Saturday morning and he'd get up at 5:30 or 6. And I'd be like, what the hell are you doing up? And he's like, I slept in. And he'd sleep till he'd get up at 6 in the morning and would still have slept in 3 extra hours.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think my dad always got up at 5. So I think on the weekends he slept in till 6 or probably 6 or 6:30 or something like that.
When I was young, I would get up early on the weekends, but
oh, I never that, did. Well, because I was always the night person. I never wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah, see, I've gone the opposite. I was the morning person when I was a kid, but now, oh, man. I mean, I will just sleep all day if you let me. Because I'll just stay up all night if I feel like it.
Yeah. there's a reason I brought that whole thing up, though. Oh, no, because now, on the weekends, too, I'll wake up at, 8. And I finally am, or I'll wake up at, between 7 and 8. And that's, I slept in, but still. But now that's one of the things where I'm like, oh, I get it now. Okay. As I get older, I learn a little bit more, and I'm like, okay, now I'm reaching this point in my life where I start sleeping in earlier on Saturday. Okay. That's the next milestone that you hit.
You're getting old, Keith.
Yeah. And then The other thing that I realized that I now do is as soon as I come home, I gotta change my clothes from work. Like as soon as I come home from work, gotta change my clothes.
And my
dad would always come to work, and he would always like go straight. He would say hi to everybody, and then go straight down into their room, into their bedroom, and change his clothes. And like sometimes I would be in my room doing homework when my dad came home, and I would come out and be like, "Oh, I thought I heard dad come home," and my mom's like, "Yeah, he's changing his clothes." Now, it took me a little while, and then I realized that he was going to the bathroom, smoking a cigarette, and changing his clothes.
Yeah.
But now, like, as soon as I come home, I'm like, oh, I gotta get out of these clothes. And I'm like, oh, let me put, like my pajamas on or something, like, get all comfortable. I come home, I change, and then I put, like, jeans on. And I'm like, well, I changed my clothes, I'm good.
See, I'm not a big changer after work. Like, I come home, and as long as, like, what I'm wearing isn't too uncomfortable, I'll just continue to wear it. So, like, I wear a shirt and tie to work and dress pants. But, you know, I'll wear a t-shirt underneath, so I'll come home, and I'll take the dress shirt off and the tie. But I'll just leave the dress socks and the dress pants on until it's time for bed.
Oh, see, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, see, I think the dress pants are comfy.
Nope.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, not at all. They're terrible.
I mean, I don't wear the shoes, obviously. Like, if I go out, I'll still wear the dress pants. I'll just put a jacket on, put sneakers on, and I'll go out. Because I don't feel like changing my pants. Now, see, this is all assuming that I'm wearing pants, not well, going out.
I was going to say, I mean, if you wear pants.
You know how I operate. Typically, if I don't have to wear pants, I don't wear pants.
Right.
So if I'm home, you know, like right now, I mean, I'm not wearing pants. There's no reason to.
Yeah. Now, are you wearing shorts or are you wearing boxers?
Just boxers.
Yeah. Because usually I've seen you just do the boxer thing.
Yeah, the boxers or like basketball shorts.
Right.
I wear basketball shorts a lot. But that's it, you know. No pants to me is almost always preferable to pants. There's no need for pants.
And I won't disagree with that. A lot of times I will do. Now, see, if it's the summer and I come home, then I'll just put on like gym shorts or basketball shorts or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I always gotta change my clothes. Like, I'll be talking to Rachel. I'll be like, oh, how's your day? While I'm, like, taking my shirt off and walking up the stairs. I gotta do it first thing. I'm just like, I gotta get out of these clothes. Hmm. I think it's a thing where it's a symbolic, like, psychological thing where, like, I'm leaving everything at work. I'm moving on with the rest of my day.
Ah, I get it.
See, I think that's what it is for me. Like, I'm done with that part. I'm moving into a next phase. Because, like, I dress and I feel like I'm at work. But if I lose that, then I'm like, okay, I'm home now. Time to relax.
Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, give it a try. See what happens. I think my dad was doing it just so he could get... I think he was doing partially for the same reason, to get some time to, like, work. Before he, like, went and had dinner and dealt with family stuff.
Dealt with you damn kids.
Yeah. But, anyway. So, speaking of getting older, I don't know how we missed this last month. I don't know if we missed it, or I missed it. I don't know if you saw it, or we at least didn't bring it up, though. They are apparently working on a Murder, She Wrote reboot.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah. We did not mention that.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it until today because Angela Lansbury has apparently commented on it now.
Oh, I heard that she is none too pleased.
Yes. Let me see if there's a... Fuller article on the reboot. Now, let me see. This is a Deadline article. They were the ones that originally reported it. When Angela... Or, no. Where is this? Hang on. Well, I'll just start with this article. We'll see what happens. When NBC started to put together its Murder, She Wrote remake starring Octavia Spencer. Who's Octavia Spencer?
I don't know. Does she have eight arms?
I don't think so.
She's like Doc Ock's daughter.
Oh, apparently she's Doc Ock's black daughter.
Oh, really?
She's
This is a hip new version, I guess.
She was in The Help.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I think she might have won an award for that. I don't even know what I could tell you that she was in that you would be like, oh, her. Just, I think you might just have to look her up. Like, you'll recognize her. Apparently she was in the first Spider-Man movie.
Oh, really? Hey, I was close.
I don't know. I don't remember what part she played.
Random black citizen.
Oh, she was the check-in girl.
Oh, the check-in girl. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the check-in girl.
Yeah, I remember that from fucking 12 years ago, whenever that movie came out.
11.
It was probably longer than...
No, it was 11. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you that she was in.
Something stupid.
I feel like she was in... Maybe she wasn't. I was going to say she was... I thought she was in Grey's Anatomy, but maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, she wasn't in Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. Anyway.
She hot?
No. I mean, not for me.
Okay.
Somebody might.
What does that mean, Keith?
She doesn't do it for me. I mean, she might for somebody. I don't want to say that. Here's what I imagine that she looks like, because I only keep seeing headshots of her. But I feel like she's a short, full figured black woman.
Okay. So probably not up either of our alleys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's a gentleman caller out there for her. She's not my type. She's been in a bunch of stuff, but nothing that you can be like her. Besides The Help, but you know.
Yeah.
Hang on, did she actually win an award? Yeah, she won an Oscar for it. Anyway. She's starring in the new Murder, She Wrote. Okay. One of the first things it did was reach out to the original star, Angela Lansbury, with an offer to be part of the new series. I've been following the talks between the network and Lansbury's team, which have been ongoing with encouraging signs on both sides. But then, surprisingly for everyone, Lansbury just spoke publicly against the remake, objecting to NBC calling the new show Murder, She Wrote, and the main character, Jessica Fletcher. The thing is, the character played by Spencer will not be named Jessica Fletcher, as execs and producers determined early on that no one but Lansbury could play that character. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I thought she was called that.
Okay.
And NBC,
so what's she so mad about?
And NBC has not settled yet on a title for the remake, which may or may not be called Murder, She Wrote. I guess Lansbury said... I think it's a mistake to call it Murder, She Wrote, because Murder, She Wrote will always be about a Cabot Cove and this wonderful little group of police stories, and enjoyed a piece of that place, and also enjoy Jessica Fletcher, who is a rare and very individual kind of person. So I'm sorry that they have to use the title Murder, She Wrote, even though they have access to it and it's their right.
She sounds like she's just a little bitter or something.
Maybe. Let's see. The new murder show is described as a light and contemporary procedural in the vein of Bones or Fargo that follows a hospital administrator and amateur sleuth who self-publishes her first mystery novel. See, that sounds right there like they're combining Murder, She Wrote and Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? They should upgrade it. You know, because now it's the 2000s. It's called Murder, She Typed.
Oh, you get it? Right, because she didn't. Yeah, she.
Because she's not going to write it. She's going to type it. Although I guess when they did Murder, She Wrote, she could have typed it anyways, but...
Yeah, she could have. They had computers then.
Yeah.
Because I'm
pretty sure... the very least, typewriters.
I'm pretty sure there's episodes where she was trying to figure out a computer.
It makes sense.
And she had those big old floppy disks.
Oh, yeah, the big old floppy disks. They're big old floppy something else.
Were you going for tits?
I don't know. Tits, badge, whatever.
Let's see. Oh, but let's see. This is a problem that arises when trying to reboot recent series. Former Charmed stars Alyssa Milano and Rose McGowan came out against CBS' plan to remake the WB show, but delving too deep into the title libraries risks only bringing out older audiences, as was the case with NBC's Ironside, a remake of the 1967-75 series. Meanwhile, using the original title is tempting.
Sounds poorly written.
Well, yes, but I don't know. I don't think a Murder, She Wrote would do so well.
I'm not really sure that using the name is gonna do anything for Murder, She Wrote. I don't know. I mean, it obviously, like, I don't know. Do you think, like, the new Hawaii 5-0 would have been less well received if it was called something else? Because people like that show.
Maybe.
I mean, I guess it's possible. We won't know that it would have been. But.
Well, when
I don't know.
When was Hawaii 5-0? Like, the original one.
I feel like that was 70s. Let me,
let's see.
Take a look here. The original started in 68.
And then it went on to 80.
Yeah.
So, okay. See, I think...
So 70s, I guess. Let's say.
So, yeah, see, I think that hit a good time when the people that they want to be going for it are in their, like, kind of grew up with the show and then would watch it now.
Yeah, but how much, I mean, I guess we'll never know, but how much of the Hawaii 5-0 audience, the new Hawaii 5-0, do you think is older? I feel like it's probably not that much.
Oh, I bet it is.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it might be. I'll be honest, I don't even know who watches that show. I know people do. It keeps getting renewed. Someone's watching it.
Here are the people that I know that watch Hawaii 5-0.
Okay.
Rachel's mom.
All right.
And I know that my mom has watched it.
Okay.
Also, to syndication-wise, TNT has acquired their rights for off-network airing of the series. So TNT, that's, you know, that seems like it'd probably be targeting a little bit older of an audience.
Yeah, most likely.
But see, I feel like Hawaii 5-0, what they did right was I think they tried to update it a little bit, but not like, hey, look at this great new spin that we're giving on the show.
Right, not completely change the formula.
Right.
Yeah, not, because I mean, yeah.
And not really go through and change the characters. Like, I'm willing to bet that part of the reason that Ironside, their other recent reboot of a series, failed was because they said, rather than putting someone that will be like Raymond Burr in the original series, we'll put a black guy in there, like a young black man. And that'll make it hip and cool, and everybody will love it. And nobody apparently watched it.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I heard of it, but no idea.
Because the original Ironside was Perry Mason.
Okay.
I mean, younger Perry Mason, but still Perry Mason. And all I know is that he went around and solved crimes. But then they were like, hey, we'll put, I want to say he was the guy in ER, or one of the doctors. No, what was he from? The new Ironside. Blair Underwood. Anyway. But yeah, I think they were trying to, like, I don't know, make it hip and, like, I feel like they're trying to be, like, trendy and be like, hey, look, we can change the race of characters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I don't know. I feel like that's probably a publicity thing.
Oh, definitely. It definitely is. Plus, I mean, you take the name of an old show and you get basically the same looking kind of person to play the show. I mean, you're not going for a new audience, and maybe you don't want to go for a new audience. Maybe you want to capture that same old audience that you had before. But a lot of people are going to look at it and be like, okay, well, this is just some old show with some crusty old white guy playing the same part of the show that my parents watched. Like, why do I care? And I get that. You know, I think I'd prefer that they just come up with new ideas as opposed to just taking old ideas and just changing the race of people to make it seem like a new thing. I mean, that's not a new idea. You know, you just take Murder, She Wrote and make the woman black. Oh, great. It's a new thing now.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know if they were like, oh, we'll get, like, black people interested in the show if we change the lead character to a black person.
I mean, how
but
many? Then,
but, yeah, okay. Honestly, I feel like, well, actually, you know what? Regardless, young people, but I think especially black people, are not going to be interested in a guy in a wheelchair solving crimes.
Like, probably not. No.
You're not going to get a young audience of being like, oh man, this guy's in a wheelchair and he's going around solving crimes. Nobody like our age is going to think that that's amazing and really something worth our time.
I mean, I might think it's funny.
Like, unless his wheelchair does like crazy stuff.
He's like Inspector Gadget with that wheelchair.
Yeah. Unless his wheelchair was made by the same guy that made the Bond cars. But like,
he's dropping spike strips and shit.
Yeah.
He's got a bulletproof shield in the back and machine guns.
Missiles and stuff.
Oh.
On the little joystick that he uses to control it, he flips it open and there's a red button. And every once in a while he's tempted to hit it, but remembers that it's an injection seat for his own chair. And he's like, never mind.
That would be pretty funny.
In later episodes, it can become invisible, so it just looks like he's sitting on nothing.
I mean, that would be a great SNL skit. If SNL was good.
They were like, oh, it's completely invisible now. And he's like, that's great. Does it make me invisible? Well, no, it just...
he just floating around in a sitting position. It's like tantamount to a really shitty superpower.
Like, it'd be really cool if it could turn invisible and then, like, fold to become upright and, like, make him walk.
Yeah.
But that's not good.
No, no. But
yeah, that's not that's not going to attract anybody. And I don't think, especially being like, oh, it's Blair Underwood, nobody's going to be like, oh, well, I really got to watch this then. Now, if they had, like, Idris Elba, and they were like, we put Idris Elba in a wheelchair, I'd be like, I check out the first couple episodes.
Right, right. And I probably would, too. He was great in Thor, by the way.
Did you see the new one?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I completely agree. You just you're not gonna. I mean, what are you trying? Are you trying to get young black people to watch Murder, She Wrote? I mean, is that really the demographic that you're trying to tap into? Because I just don't think that's gonna work. I mean, maybe you might pick up a couple like middle-aged black women into the fold that weren't watching a Murder, She Wrote series before, but I don't see where you're going with that, you know?
Well, here's,
it doesn't make sense.
Here's my other concern is that they're going to make it and really play up her being like the sassy black woman sleuth detective.
Yeah.
And I really hope they don't do that, but I'm afraid that that's exactly what it's going to be. Like within the first episode, she's going to say, "Oh hell no."
I mean, I can't imagine that the writers of the show are really the best, you know. I can't imagine the ideas are going to be top notch for the new Murder, She Wrote. You're probably right.
Yeah. And I feel like they've already remade Murder, She Wrote and they call it Castle. And instead of making it about a woman, they made it about a dude.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. It's kind of the same thing, except he's kind of a millionaire from it, whereas Jessica Fletcher was just a old lady.
Yeah.
There was something, though, that I was reading. Shit, I lost the... Oh, wait, is this it? Let's see. Landsberg, 2011, that she would like to make a comeback appearance as Jessica Fletcher.
Huh.
So here's what you do.
It's like a one-off that she wanted to do, or?
I don't know. She probably wouldn't want to do a whole series again. But here's what I'm thinking. Here's how you do it. What you do is you have, because she never had any kids, so you got to make it like one of the, like, her, like, grand nieces and nephews. Because she always had, like, cousins, and she had, like, brothers and nephews and stuff. So you make it, like, one of their kids becomes a writer and is, like, maybe is taking care of her or is, like trying to, because, you know, they got some writer's block, so they're trying to work on a new thing. So they go and visit her in her retirement home or in her retirement community or whatever.
In her wheelchair with her smoke screens.
Exactly,
and everything.
Exactly. She's in a little wheelchair in the corner, and on the back of it, it says "Fuck Ironside." And she goes to visit her, and then like in the first episode, one of the other people in the nursing home dies, and then like Jessica's like, Can you do me a favor and look into it? Because my friend just died, and like she said, she thought she was getting better. And at first, like, you know, the grandnephew or niece or whatever, the grandniece is like real kind of like, oh, I don't know, like being all wacky and like, you know, being an old person. But then she finds out that it's true, and like someone's going around the retirement home killing people, and she solves that murder. And then you go from there, and then every couple episodes, you know, Jessica Fletcher pops in, you know?
It sounds like a really bad Columbo episode. Figuring out the murder at the retirement home.
But, like, that's like the pilot, you know?
Honestly, that's a better idea than probably anything they're going to do.
Yeah. You do something like that. And you connect it, because then you get the old people that would
watch. Oh, they'll watch.
Like, you and I will watch it because Jessica Fletcher will be on there. Like, the actual Jessica Fletcher. And then you get just, you know, you get some hot chick to be the new one.
Yeah.
They can't name her, like, Jessie Fletcher or something like that. They got to give her, like, a new name, but yeah, still.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, the... Although, that would be tough. Well, yeah, no, because it could be, you know, her father has a different name, you know? Because she's a niece or something.
Yeah.
So that's easy enough.
Yeah, you give her, you either give her the Fletcher name or you give her something else, but you change her first name.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe she uses, like, Fletcher as a pen name or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, you just get somebody you get somebody young to come in there. You get young people in on it.
Young and sexy.
Yeah. You know, you set it maybe like Miami or something. If you set it in Miami, like she's in a retirement home in Miami, then you get some beach scenes in there.
Oh yeah.
You get the young people. Yeah, you get the young
bikini shots.
You get the young people in there, but you also get the old people because they're looking for Jessica.
Right. And you can do that because there's a lot of old people in Florida, but there's a lot of young people too.
And she doesn't have to be in all of them. Like, maybe she's in the first couple.
And then you just kind of phase around.
And then she just pops up every once in a while.
Yeah. Where they're just like, I'm sorry. She died. She overdosed on stool softener.
It was a really bad scene in there.
You don't. It's going to have to be a closed casket.
Yeah. I mean,
she evacuated her bowels to such an extent that there's nothing left. Yeah.
It's pretty bad. We're actually going to have to burn down that condo. It's now a biohazard. See, that's I think that's how you reboot it, though. Not completely change it.
Hey, I'm with you. I like it.
Because here's the other thing that I don't like in here. It says she's a hospital administrator that self-publishes mystery novels. So, like, anybody could self-publish a mystery novel.
Yeah, that's true.
So it gives her no credibility. Like, she should... The way the new series should go is that somebody dies, she goes up to detectives and is like, hey, I think I could be of assistance. I self-published a mystery novel last night from my laptop. I think I know what I'm talking about. And the detective says, get the fuck out of here.
Beat it, lady. Yeah, that is dumb too.
It gives her no credibility. At least, you know, this other time she had, like, by the time I think the series started, she had written several mystery novels already.
Right, and someone was purchasing them and putting them out there.
And they knew her. Everybody she ran into knew her. She was like, I'm Jessica Fletcher, and they were like, oh, the mystery writer. My wife loves your books, or I love your books.
Yeah, she was like, Michael Crichton or something.
No, she was in her world. She was the Stephen King because everybody also seemed to know what she looked like.
Oh, okay.
And everybody knows what Stephen King looks like.
That's true. You're right. You're right. That's a better example. That's partially because he's a creepy looking guy, though.
Well, that's true.
But no, you're right. That's a better.
Yeah, she's the Stephen King of her universe. Because she'll run into random people, and they'll be like, hey, you're the Jessica Fletcher lady, huh? Because she would just be, like, she would be visiting one of the nieces or nephews somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she would, like, there'd be a murder, obviously. And then she'd be like, detective, I think I may be of assistance. And he'd be like, hey, you're Jessica Fletcher. Of course you can. Evidence. Put your fingerprints on it. I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, it's like when I saw Stephen King at Fenway and I started yelling, Stephen! And he kind of did a half wave and then ignored me.
Did that really happen?
Yes, it did. He's always there, though. He's got season tickets.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
But, yeah, no, we saw him, and me and my friends were trashed, and we decided to start yelling to say hi to him, and he acknowledged us, but you could tell he was kind of like, ugh, you're just attracting more people over.
Yeah. All right. I think that wraps up Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah. Honestly, we got a...
All right. Well, thank you for listening to But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
And remember, no regrets. And
when you're writing that script to reboot Matlock, make them black.
I thought you were going to say, make sure it's Idris Elba.
I probably should have done. Well, same.
I'll just leave that part in too. I would watch that. Here's what we do. Matlock starring Idris Elba, and then the poster is just him eating a hot dog.
It would work. Makes sense. What did they rebooted with Ving Rhames?
Oh, Kojak. Kojak, yeah.
Yeah, why Telly Savalas?
Why do they keep rebooting all these with black people as the leads?
I don't know. It's not like that worked.
Like, I don't even understand, because, okay, let's be honest. The target demographic for most of the stuff out there, especially for commercials, is going to be the, like, 18 to 40, white, like, $100,000 a year income. Like, that's really the people that they're going for.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's not even like, it's not even like we're saying to be a dick, but it's like, seriously, you're going to advertise cars on a TV show watched only by black people? That's not the case. Like, you better hope you have white people watching your show if you want people to advertise on it, you know?
I'm trying to think if they've rebooted any other shows and changed white people to black people, and it failed miserably.
I mean, just like Kojak. Like, who's your target audience? It's probably older people. Older people don't want to watch Ving Rhames play Kojak. And I like Ving Rhames.
I would, okay. If they were going to do a detective show and it was Ving Rhames, I would probably watch it. But the thing is, they're just like, oh, well, let's just take Kojak and change it. It lasted for 9 episodes, too.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. I don't know. It's stupid.
I wonder if part of the problem is that also some of the people that really like the shows that would tune in now, are also a little on the racial prejudice side.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, your target demographic, I mean, the people who like Kojak are all, like, 40 and over. Yeah. As you get older, you're getting a little more racist. It's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, the people that really watched Kojak then would probably have been, we'll say, 20 to 30. Even if they're 20 to 30 then, in the 70s. We're 40 years later, so then you're looking at people who are in their 60s so they're going to be a little bit more like, because they really try to like make him more relevant to today too, and that never works.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, man. You know what I can't really wait for?
What?
Spencer for Hire with a black guy.
Who are they going to get to play? To play my boy there.
I think, okay, so I think Robert Urich is going to be replaced by
Usher.
I was actually going to go worse, and I was going to say it was going to be like Nick Cannon or somebody.
Oh, Jesus. I'd take Usher.
It's going to be... No, you know who Spencer Ferrier is going to be? It's going to be like Ice-T.
Ice-T?
Ice-T is going to be Spencer. And then they're going to get... Avery Brooks is going to be replaced then by a white guy.
Hmm. They're going to a little mix and match?
Yeah, or maybe it won't be a white guy. Maybe they'll replace him with, like, Luis Guzman.
Who's watching this shit?